Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I'm in a series that is entitled All In, and it's interesting because Sandy and I have been talking, and she said, well, Bill, that's kind of your message. It's not just the series here in October. And I thought, well, I guess it kind of is. But this one's kind of a little bit, has a little different bend to it for me. It ministers to me his word. And what's interesting about God's word is it's like water to our soul. It hydrates us. It refreshes us. You know, for a lot of people coming to church or just reading the word will hydrate and the word will refresh our souls. And, you know, recently I had a kidney stone and after it was all said and done, I was meeting with a specialist and he said, listen, he said, you know, all the things out there that people say you can do to not have these, he said, I'll just tell you the surefire thing is if you drank 3 liters of water a day and then dispense 2 liters of water a day. And I started thinking about that. I started thinking, oh my gosh, that's a lot of water, okay? But then I started thinking about God's word. God's word that if we take in 3 liters of God's word, and the measurement's random, okay? But we take in 3 liters of God's word, his love, his will for our lives, and then dispense 2 liters of it a day. I mean, you think about how rich the world would be. You think about how incredible the life would be. And I'll tell you, because the title of this message is tied to the contrariness of the world, that the world is contrary to the kingdom all the time. And I'll tell you, in most cases, it's opposite. The kingdom operates in an opposite direction that the world operates. So hence, it feels like we're swimming upstream and we're going against the wind and against the tide of people. And you know, that's probably pretty accurate. You know, I think a part of this is once somebody's been a Christian for a few months, somebody should sit down with them and say, okay, now listen, you've had a honeymoon period, you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. God knows you, but the devil knows you too. And understand that the wind of your life is probably going to be contrary. But you know what? The wind doesn't have to have any effect on your life. If you guys were here last week, I preached from Matthew, the 7th chapter, right out of the Beatitudes, right out of the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus comes and he says, now listen, man, your life is going to be determined by the foundation that you set. If your foundation is on the rock, man, the storm's going to hit, the rain's going to splatter you. The wind is going to try to prevail against you, but you know what? It's not going to have any effect. But then contrarily, he said, if your house is built, if your life is built upon the sand, great's going to be the fall of it. Yet it's the same storm. David said it rains on the just and the unjust alike. You know, very often God uses the preaching of his word to identify things in our lives that need to be corrected, that need to be reproved, that need to be directed in our lives. See, that's what New Testament Holy Spirit ministry is for us. It's directional. Man, God's gonna speak to you this morning. God's gonna direct your life. You're gonna start thinking, you know that television show, that music, those movies that I'd love to go to. Man, I'm not sure they jive with my life in the kingdom, my life with God. See, there's things like that start to happen that, man, your favorite comedian, man, just isn't that funny anymore. The laughs aren't worth what it does to your soul anymore. And I think that what God wants to do with you today is he wants to take whatever parts of your life are in a low place and he wants to make them higher. See, contrarily, the world wants to take what God's trying to do in your life and tamp it down and suppress it. Man, I know I feel it all the time. You have to, that the suppression the world tries to put on our lives where it's like, man, it's time for me to be that person that runs and jumps and praises God in front of everybody. But it's hard for me to because my life is continually tamped down. My life is continually suppressed. And all that we need is that lift, that thrust from heaven. And that's what I believe church does for us. And church gives us a thrust because God wants to give you a bump in your life today. Wherever you are on that scale of 1 to 10 that I see so clearly that hopefully by now, if you've been here a while, you do too. If you'll think, you know, my finances are about a, man, they're like a 5. Well, you know what? I believe that you'll be able to see 7 or 8 by the time you leave this service today. You might think, oh, my marriage, no, you know what? I'm telling you, one quality meal with your spouse and everything can be turned around. I'm telling you, it is that easy. But see, we've got to understand that what happens is that if your house is built upon the rock, the wind tries to assault it. Man, it comes aggressively. I can't tell you the aggressive storms that have hit my life since I've been a Christian, since I've been pastoring, since we take steps of faith. Man, I'm considering monster steps of faith right now in ministry. You know, because I'm in a place, honestly, at 57 years old, and our organization's built big, and the flywheel's turning. You know, we don't have to get up every day and think, oh my gosh, remember those days, Scott, where we had to get up and say, that flywheel's got dust on it. Somebody's got to get that thing turning. Man, it took everything in us just to budge that flywheel just a little bit, but now that flywheel's turning. Man, a parade of people came up to me last night and said, hey, Pastor, you got to go home and go to bed. You're preaching 3 times tomorrow. We've got this. I'm like, no, man, I'm built for the tech hall. Now, what time is that going to be? We have a tech hall meeting at the end of each night at the Nightmare of why, really honestly, standing in the ministry tent, and it's not a tent anymore, but that's what it is in my heart, and the tech hall meetings are why I do the Nightmare. People walking out and getting saved, and then at the end, us celebrating that number, and I'm looking at 15 and 16 and 25 and 26 and 35 and 30 and 50 or 60 year old people that are in that tech hallway that are like, what's the number? And then last night it was 525. You have to understand, my high school, the year I graduated, was 436 people. It was almost 100 people more than I went to high school with at any given time. Man, that's a big deal for me. I know that other people have bigger numbers and bigger things, but I'm a small town boy, man. I mean, those kind of numbers are overwhelming for me. And I think that we have to understand that what the wind is, though, when our house is built upon the sand. And the sand, listen, it just amounts to if you want, you can even write this down, that what the sand amounts to is doubt and unbelief and fear. Okay, doubt, unbelief, and fear. If doubt, unbelief, and fear is operative in your life and you know what? We all have doubt. We all come to places where it's like, man, what I see is more predominant than what I'm reading. So how do I make what I'm reading bigger than what I'm feeling and our circumstances and our situation? But what happens then is that this, all this stuff, this doubt, this unbelief, this fear, and that it equates to insecurity and inhibition, and where the devil's just trying to get us to draw back. And write this down, we are not those who draw back. Man, see, because what the wind does is the wind comes at us. You don't have to go and find it. You don't know where it's come from, but you know it's hitting you. And the wind is a believer. The wind of the world is contrary. That's why the wind of the Spirit and the wind of the church, the wind that you get in, man, when you come to church, you're like, oh my gosh, that sail just popped and it's in my back now. Man, I'm telling you, we could make up some new ground. Man, we could make up some lost ground now. See, that's what church services do for a lot of people. Man, it's going to encourage you. Man, you're not going to get tamped down in here. Man, there's so much music that people say, man, why don't we sing old hymns or why don't we do this song or this type of music? It's because I don't need anything tamping anything down in these services. There is one thing I'm looking for from our music, one thing, to lift the room. To lift the room. People are coming in. You're coming in and you've got an unexpected bill. You're coming in, you've lost your job. You're coming in, your husband didn't come home last night. I'm telling you, the music can lift you. Man, God can turn old things new and dead things alive. See, that's what we have to understand. See, and it's lifting in our lives. And when we get to that place where it's like, man, I need to get my soul lifted. What do I do? Man, what David said, I was happy, I was joyful when they told me to come and go, let's go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because I'm gonna get lifted. Man, it's gonna help me. But then if our house is on the sand, there's a subtle wind that continually beats against our house. And you know what? You might be in that situation right now. Your house, your life, when I say house, it's your life. When your house, your life is drafty, you're thinking, oh my gosh, wait a second. Is there a door open? Is there a window open? I gotta go find that door, open door. I gotta go find that window. I gotta shut that window. Because I'll tell you, the enemy, the devil, your adversary, your opponent in the joy of life, listen, is harmless. Because everything about the kingdom, and you should write this down, is delegated. Man, if you're living in poverty right now, you have delegated that to the enemy. If you're blessed right now, you've delegated that to the Lord. Man, if you've been tamped down, if you've been repressed, if you've been victimized, let me tell you, things happen to all of us. What happens to us doesn't necessarily mark us. What we do with what happens to us does. Man, how many of you guys are overcomers in here? Why? That's because that's what we do. But the only way we can overcome is if our house is built upon the rock and the doors and the windows are shut. We go to Matthew, the 14th chapter. And because I believe that God never intends, listen, for instability. And that's what wind brings to our life. Is it wind here? Is it the storm and the rain? That's the flood and storm and rain. But wind here is an emblem of instability. And that's in Matthew 7. Now, Matthew 14, God never intends instability in our life. Can you identify an area of instability in your life? That's not God's intention. You're not living the life of God in Christ. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Why? They had a throng of people while he sent the multitudes away. He said, look, I got this. I'll take care of this. You guys get in the boat and go to the other side. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. Now, listen. For the wind was contrary. Underline that or highlight that in your Bible. And maybe even put a reference to Matthew 7 right there. Because the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Okay, the waves were boisterous. The wind was blowing. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, or take courage. It's I, don't be afraid. It's me, you can't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, now this next phrase should blow our minds. When Peter stepped out of the boat, what is it? Let's read it together, the last phrase of this verse. Ready, read. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Read it again. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. He did what Jesus was doing, and it was contrary to facts. He did what Jesus was doing that was superhuman, supernatural. It doesn't make sense. He walked on the water. He stepped out of that boat and he began to walk on the water. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And then Jesus reached out and stretched out his hand. He caught him and he said to him, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You know, that little faith isn't size of faith. This is going to be interesting. You guys ready for this? How many guys came here this morning? It's like, you know what? I'd appreciate some fresh revelation. Anybody in here? Anybody here say, man, you know, it'd be good to get a fresh word from God. I doubt that many of you guys have heard this. Listen, oh, you of little faith. That's not size of faith. That is length of faith. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now here's what's interesting about this. When he said, why did you doubt? Oh, you have short length of faith. You have short faith. Your throw of faith is short. Why did you doubt? You know what that really means? Why'd you seek a second opinion? He said, look, Jesus, if it's you, beckon me to come and I'll step out and I'll do it. I will obey you. And he gets out of the boat, he walks on the water. But then what happened? The emblem of instability that he was used to in his life, the wind hit him. And what happened? He began to sink. And who did he cry out to? He cried out to Jesus. Now, you know what's interesting? Let's go to Mark, the fourth chapter. You can write this down, okay, and look at it. I encourage you to look at it in the Amplified. Matter of fact, I'm going to look at it in the Amplified. But verse 40, it said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith or that your length of faith isn't where it should be? And then in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, now stop right here. You know, there's another translation that says, what manner of man is this that even the wind obeys him? How many of you guys have ever seen that? Okay, so there's a translation that says, what manner of man? Here it says who. You know what the actual translation of that is? Who, what, where, when, why? No, listen. It doesn't say what manner of man is this. It doesn't say who is this. It says who, what, when, where, why are you? That's what they were asking. They're like, oh my gosh, we have never experienced. Who is this guy? What manner of man is this? Man, what is the purpose of his life? Why is he here? Man, where are we? This is like what this is. This is like we're on a movie set because none of this makes sense. Remember last week I said what it does is it knocks your senses off. Oh my gosh, where you're like, I can't really trust what I see anymore. Hallelujah! I can't trust how I feel anymore. Oh my gosh, just yesterday I felt like that this disease was going to take me down and I was going to die. But today I've got newfound hope. Man, today I know that I'll live and not die. I'll fulfill God's purpose in my life. See, that's who we have to be. Man, that's the whole idea. I was reading in the Amplified, Mark the fourth chapter. And I challenge you to read the whole chapter in the Amplified. But verse 40, and he said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust? Why is it that you can talk trust? Why is it that you could huddle up with trust? But when the wind starts blowing, how can you not have trust? And they were in verse 41, and they were filled with great awe and feared exceedingly and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Oh my gosh, I'm loving the whole idea that all the world can do is billow and blow at us. It's just the winds of doctrine, that teaching with no basis that come into our life and cause our faith to be shortened. What if it's not the size of your faith that is your issue? What if it's the length of your faith that is your issue? I'm just telling you, I believe that to be profound for maybe everyone in this room. I know it is for me. It's not that I have weak faith ever. It's that sometimes my length of faith becomes the issue. I look at so many people here nodding. I look at people that it's almost like I can. Your eyes are giving up your heart here. It's like, oh my gosh, this is true. Man, we've got strong faith. We've got exceedingly over. We have overcoming faith. Man, we just have to stick with it. We can't look at this. We can't let the chronos of our lives dictate what's going to happen. It doesn't matter. I remember Kenneth Copeland years and years ago as a brand new Christian. And I'm listening to this guy preach. He's yelling at people. It's like, wow, this guy's mad and people are cheering. I'm like, remember old school Kenneth Copeland, man, he'd get after it. But you know, one time he just gets up, he goes, you know, I hate the devil. I'm sitting there thinking, I hate the devil too. I like him. He's a Texan, but I like him. And he said, and here's how this works, devil. It's my ball. It's my bet. We play till I win. I thought, I love that game. Man, you think about your health. You think about your finances. You think about your marriage. You think about whatever it is. Man, it's my ball. It's my bet. We play till I win. I'm not quitting. I'm not going home. Man, what's the adage of this church, man? You win if you don't quit. What are we here to do? We're here to help people win. So what do we want them to do? Man, get back in the race. Don't quit. Get back in the race. Get back in the fight. Man, don't cower. Don't be timid. Don't be fearful. Man, be courageous. Have courage. Why? We're all in. Man, we come in settings like this, and what happens? Man, we get a lift in our life. Man, why do you doubt? Why do you go seek a second opinion? That's where Paul said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know who all these guys are that you're listening to. Don't be of many teachers. Man, why would you find something in God's word? Why would it be confirmed a number of times and you try to go and find another opinion? Because let me tell you, you can find people, and I'm not going to be careful here. Okay, I'm going to be straight and direct. You're going to find people that can, what they can do is they can stroke or they can salve the flesh side of you, the arm of the flesh, where it's like, well, yeah, you never know what God's going to do. See, you're never going to hear that from this pulpit. We know what God's going to do. You know why? I believe the way God does anything is the way God does everything. I believe that God's not a man that he can lie, or God's not a man that he's ever going to change. Do you understand? If God has ever healed anybody, he has to heal you. If God has ever delivered anybody, you have to be delivered. That's how God looks at it. He's no respecter of persons, neither male nor female in the kingdom. God's not looking at how much money you could give. God's not looking about how much money you have. God's not looking about a payment plan. No, you know what? God's just looking for you to be one thing, and that's blessed. Listen, coming in and going out, in the city and in the field, no matter what. Yeah, but I'm a three-time loser. You're perfect for this place. Matter of fact, you could jump up to the head of the class. There's a lot of four- and five-time losers in here. Man, I'm telling you. See, we realize that, wait a second, God has built us to win. God has built us to where the contrary wind of the world doesn't have any more effect on us. And let me just tell you, every report that you get that's not based upon God, his word, and his Bible, it's going to end up being contrary. Oh my gosh, I remember Bill Clinton got elected president. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Fleetwood Mac's blaring on the sound system at his victory party. Man, everybody's all worried. Man, our country's just going to turn into a brothel. But then you know what? 8 years later, George W. got elected. It's like, oh my God, you know what, everybody? Man, we prayed, we thanked God, we put God in country. Everybody, the other side of people are going, oh my God, our country's going to turn into a church. Do you know neither of them happened? Do you know why? Because it's all wind. That's all that is. I'm just telling you, from whatever direction we're talking about politically, it ends up being wind. And see, what we have to realize now is the strength of a country, the strength of a society, there's one thing that determines it: the strength of the church. If the church is strong, the country's going to be strong. If all hell's breaking loose, the church is weak. See, this is how we have to look at it. See, the world is full of problems. our lives are full of problems. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is always the solution. His plan is the local church. It's the hope of the world. Man, the help that you get comes from here. Why? It's not so much, listen, it's not because of the DC. It's not because of other things that we do. It's simply because, man, this is where life is dispensed. This is where God's word is dispensed. Man, this is, man, you go back and you listen to every Sunday message, and I do this. And you know what I see? I see the hand of God, and it becomes a path. It becomes a route for living. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's amazing, because I didn't do it. I'm just telling you. Man, I've got tons of plans. I've got big ideas. And I'm sitting backstage, and the music starts, and God is speaking to my heart about Mark, the fourth chapter, that those winds are hurricane-like in those people's lives. It wasn't just windy. They were going to die. The same kind of winds that took that freighter out off the Bahamas last week. Gone. That's what those men were expecting. But Jesus was in the down in the stern of the boat, sleeping. The Bible even says on a leather pad. They woke him up. He's like, what do you want? How long do I have to be with this perverse? They're like, what do you mean? What do we want? How could you sleep? And you know what the Bible says? He turned and said, peace be still, and muzzled that storm. Almost to the point, and I studied this, to where the storm turned on itself and stopped. The storm beat itself into submission. And they turned and they looked at each other, and everything was peaceful, and they said, who, what, where, when, how is this man? That's who this Jesus is. But see, it only works if we're all in. If they're parts of the way in. You know, I do this a lot, and the Lord shows me things, and there's people, man, you are where you are because of what you're submitting to God. Man, if you're not experiencing increase and overflow and promotion in your life, promotion comes from Him. God wants, you're His kid, it's nepotism. He wants to promote you. But if it's not happening in your life, it's because there's a door open, there's a window open. There's been a shortened length of faith in that area in your life. I believe just like God, I believe the way we do anything is the way we do everything. Man, there's parts of your life you might be cheating. There's parts of your life you might be caving. And you know what? It's going to affect everything in your life. It's not going to get better. See, in all the problems that you have in your life and all the problems you've ever had, realize you're the common denominator. I'm the common denominator in all my problems. I want to blame Curtis and Tom, but you know what? I'm the common denominator. I have to deal with me. And that's the message of the cross. Did you know that? The message of the cross is, okay, deal with yourself. I paid the price. Now you got to come through this tight, narrow gate. Yeah, but wait a second. I'm a big deal. Oh yeah, that you're a big deal part of your life, you got to leave it on this side of the cross. You can't get through. Oh, but man, I've got security. I've got more than a 401k and more than a nest egg. Man, I'm set for life. Oh yeah, yeah, that, you got to leave it on this side of the cross. Yeah, but what can I take through? He doesn't want anything you have except for your heart. That's all He wants. He just wants a little heart. That's it. You're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, if only Santana could get saved, or if only Mark Cuban got saved, he could pay off all of her. Do you understand? He would say to Mark Cuban what he said to the rich young ruler. He isn't going to say, hey, take everything you have and give it to the church. No, no, take everything he has, sell it, and give that to the poor. Then come follow me. I've got so much more I want to say, but you have to come back next week. And I think it'll be pretty good. But listen, think about this, that it's not the size of your faith, it's the length of your faith that becomes your issue. Does that make sense? God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for this time. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that makes all of this stuff alive for us. God, I thank you that your word has come into our lives and has benefited us and increased us immensely. God, I thank you for what you're doing here. God, I thank you for the ministry at the Nightmare, everybody that served at the Nightmare just a few hours ago and are propping themselves up and being attentive this morning to the needs of your people. God, thank you. God, bless every person in here, every household here. Let's pray together, church. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I give you my heart. And this is forever, God. I turn from the report of the world. God, I make sure that all my doors and windows are shut. That my house and life, it's not drafty. God, I'm solid in you. And I thank you for a tremendous length of faith that resides in me. It's not a length of time, God. It's a length of faith. And I thank you for that. God, I thank you for ever increasing, enduring faith in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.